guys, welcome back to another episode of Future Anarchy. This is your host, Ekta, and I have such an awesome brand to introduce you guys to today. I am, like, very rarely am I truly blown away where I feel like a brand has really changed the way that I'm practicing my skin routine. I am a very night routine person, so like that's when I really try products out and I figured out what I'm gonna stick to. And so I feel like when I discovered this brand, it changed everything. My night routine completely changed. Every other product was kind of put to the side. So I'm really excited and I want to introduce you guys to MZ Skin. So with me today, I have Dr. Zamani, who is a leading oculoplastic surgeon and facial aesthetics doctor specializing in surgical and non-surgical facial aesthetic procedures in London. Dr. Zamani, you know, her work spans two continents. And so she's both an American trained and board certified ophthalmologist and also a specialist consultant in the UK. So she has a ton of experience with the eyes, with the skin, with everything that we think about when we think of the facial products that we use. So welcome, Dr. Zamani. I'm so honored.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you. I know. But, it's like, is that me? Thanks.
Yeah. No, that's you. I'm so excited to interview you and I want to learn about you. Like, how did you get into ophthalmology? What was the journey like to getting to this point?
You know, I think everybody has a plan set out. And I don't know if we even know at the time. I think it was really quite serendipitous. Oh my God, I'm the worst with pronunciation. But yeah, basically the way that it started was I'm Iranian and my mom and dad are both doctors. And as the firstborn child, I think they like were like, you will be a doctor. You will be a doctor. You will be a doctor. It was embedded in me from like very early on. And I rebelled against it quite a lot. And look what happened. I became my parents. And so then I went to medical school. And I hated the first 2 years of medical school. But what I did like was when I started the rotations, I loved surgery. I actually loved almost all surgery. And I really loved head and neck surgery. And then I did this amazing thing called Operation Smile when I was in med school. I raised some money for this charity that was basically operating on cleft lip and palates on children around the world. And I fundraised and I actually raised the most money at med school. And they invited me to go to Thailand with their team to help them with their next mission. And I went and it was really spectacular. You know, when these kids had walked with their families for some of them, in some cases, literally days, a lot of the surgeries we did there, some had to be, you know, brought to the Western world or to big city to be operated on. But, you know, they went there, they taught the doctors there how to do the surgeries. Johnson & Johnson had actually paid for that trip for that mission. So we left a bunch of equipment there, a lot of supplies, taught the people. I mean, I was a med student. I was basically pre-opping and post-opping patients, but I was watching these incredible surgeons really changing the lives of these kids. And I was like, that is really incredible. And when I came back, I realized I wanted to be a specialist. I wanted to be a surgeon and I wanted it to be really precise. I realized I wanted to do head and neck, like above the chest, basically. Yeah. And at the time, there was three ways to go into plastics. One was to do general surgery, which means 5 years of like literally the whole body. And then you do 2 years of plastics, which is again, the whole body. So people do a little bit of everything. A lot of times it's boobs, abdomens, those types of things. And that didn't really appeal to me. And then I thought about ENT. And I almost did ENT. And I remember I asked my dad, I said, Dad, I remember you said you were either going to be a neurosurgeon or an orthopedic surgeon. They're so different. How did you decide? And he said, I mean, like so different, right? And he said, well, when I was in medical school and I was deciding, he said, you know, a positive outcome in neurosurgery at the time was not really that positive because, you know, we didn't have like great technology at the time. And so a lot of positive outcomes was just, you know, the patient nodding. And he said that was sort of depressing. But when I did orthopedics and I change a hip or a knee, you know, like a week later, the patient would be like, Doc, you did like, you helped me so much. And he said, I went for the selfish, like that made me feel good type of situation. And I said, you know what, that makes sense to me. And so a friend of mine was doing opto and that was the third way that you could go into plastics. And he told me, he's like, you're going to love this. You really should try it. I used to be the person everybody took their notes from and, you know, everything's color coordinated. I used to do all my notes on paper that had no lines on it. I mean, I was really like very meticulous. And so he said, you are going to love this. It's so you. And I did it and I loved it. And so I went down the opto route, then did a couple of oculoplastic fellowships. And, you know, when I came to the UK, they were a little, you know, the US and the UK has some things that are different mm-hmm. and interestingly different, you know. So for instance, like in the UK, there's like hundreds and hundreds of fillers out on the market. When I was yeah. in the US training, I didn't have any exposure to, you know, dermal fillers or, you know, very little, even with Botox. We used it more for people who had blepharospasms or spasms of their face or eyes. Like we used it for very medicinal purposes, never for the aesthetic purposes. And we never had any training in dermal fillers. And I came here and everybody in the UK was doing tons of everything. And we were using it in the NHS, which is the national health system for yeah. people who had had lots of surgery. And I was like, oh, wow, this is so cool. There's so much you can do without actually doing surgery, especially in the patient who had, like, you know, either trauma or had skin cancers. And, you know, they didn't want to have another surgery to make themselves look better. They were looking for little fixes that could be impactful. And I was like, wow, there's a whole other world out there of non-surgical. And, you know, maybe yeah. if I hadn't come to the UK, my practice would be completely different and my trajectory would have been different. But I sort of embraced it and I love it. I've always liked improving myself in whatever way, whether it's with exercise, longevity, you know, things that are going to improve the quality of my life, looking good, feeling good, living well. Those are, you know, it's a lifestyle. And so I sort of went down that route. Like I said, I don't know. I could have been in the US, you know, with a very happy practice that probably would have been very different, equally rewarding probably, but yeah. just, you know, different in the way that it took me.
You know, I like that you dove into the UK side of training versus here, because I did a psychiatry rotation in the UK and I was very, like, very different. Because, yeah. And it made me realize about integrated medicine. I think that's the first time I had like a experience with truly like we're doing a lot more than we're doing in the US. And it was like eye opening. So I completely, like, on some level can relate with that, because I think that there are things happening there that you're just not getting exposed to in the US in your medical training. You know, I think we're very rigid.
And you know, the thing that's interesting is here, I don't know if it's good or bad, but you know, in the US, I remember I came here, they told me, how many complications have you had? And I said, none. They're like, none? Yeah. I was like, well, I mean, like, little things, but no, not really. And they were flabbergasted. But I realized really early on when I started my fellowship, I remember, I'll never forget, I started my fellowship and we had an orbital decompression. And an orbital decompression is where you literally make an incision underneath the eye or around the eye and you equipment to burr down the bone to make it thinner. So like in the thyroid patient who has like kind of that bulgy eye appearance, so you sort of make the socket bigger so the eye sits back further. And, you know, that it's a pretty serious, in terms of oculoplastic surgery, that's probably one of the most serious surgeries we can do, mainly because the optic nerve is there and you can actually cause blindness. And I remember my first day of fellowship in a new hospital in a new country, patient is, you know, about to go under and they're like, are you going to start? And I said, well, my attending's not, I never ever operated, you know, without my attending, like literally in the room scrubbed mm-hmm. next to me. And they were like, oh, she's going to come a little later. I was like, well, I'm not going to start like all by myself. The crazy thing is that in the UK, there's a lot of learning in the NHS by just, you know, you watch it, you do it, and then you teach it. And, yeah. You know, so there's room for error a little bit more. And I realized the reason I had no complications is that anytime I was about to make a mistake, some consultant over my shoulder was saying, Mariam, don't do that. You're going to have a problem. And so he'd tell me what I should do instead, and I'd have a positive outcome. And so I never made those mistakes because somebody was catching them before they became sort of an issue. So I thought that was an interesting way, but the integration and the ability to just, you know, and also there's a lot of restrictions in the US, I guess, with litigation. So yeah. You don't have that here as much.
There's a lot. Yeah. And I think that's just fascinating because I think that allows, I mean, the way that, you know, you've described it and even my little experience I've had, you know, with UK training, I have noticed that there's a lot more space for you to be more of a creative mind when it comes yes. to medicine. And I think that's, there's so much value in that because we're now having conversations around like skin health, for example, where we're talking about the gut and we're talking about the brain and, you know, all these axes. And it's like, you know, well, we've always kind of known that. But I yes. feel like when I studied, like I had mentioned psychiatry, you know, I went there for psychiatry. Even in psychiatry at the time, they were talking to patients about their overall health. You know what I mean? They were discussing this integration kind of thing, right? And so when I look at the US and I look at how we're approaching, like, for example, skin health, it becomes so allopathic in nature. You know, it becomes so like, you know, this is it. These are the drugs that work and F the rest, you know? And it's just, it baffles me. And that's honestly where skincare, I think, for me, has always stood out as a consumer, you know, because I'm like, no, these are other options, you know what I mean? Other than these really rigid treatments that have been put in place in the US, I feel like. And, you know, it is a lot of like legal stuff behind that, but it doesn't allow for a lot of room, like a wiggle room. You know what I mean?
No, I mean, I have to say, I love it because that's exactly it. I've integrated so many different things into what I do. So, for instance, like, the reason I loved being here and what I do is that, yes, I started off as a surgeon and I still, you know, I do multiple surgeries every week, but I also do the non-surgical. And I think it is important to be able to integrate the two between one another. And you know what? There's nothing that I do in my office that I shouldn't be supplementing with at-home skincare, because if I don't do the work at home, people can come in and have things done with me, but they're not going to get the long-lasting results. And they might not even get the full results if they're not putting in the time to take care of themselves at home.
100%. 100%. Now, I want to actually shift gears and ask you about the products, because truly, I mean, hats off. Like, literally, it's the most wonderful skincare line I think I've experienced in the last year.
Makes me happy.
Yeah, this is honest to God, like, I love it. And I love your serums especially. And I know there's a lot of science that has gone into creating this line. Can you tell us a little bit about things like the ingredients, such as the bioplacenta, plant stem cells, the peptides? Like, what really made you bring these ingredients together and create the line?
At the time, I had no intention of creating a skincare line. So it was for me. It was for me to use in conjunction with brands that I liked. And I had it in my office. I was giving it to some of my patients. And one of the days I gave it to a junior buyer at Harrods. And she said that she loved it. And there was only one other doctor-led a skincare line. And she wanted to launch us at Harrods exclusively. And that was February. And she told me, I want to launch you in September. And I was like, I have no branding. I have nothing. And I went and really created my brand. I knew I wanted it to be feminine. I knew I wanted it to look pretty. I did not want it to look clinical, despite the fact that everything is rooted in science. So I had very pro-aging, regenerative formulations that work synergistically well together. I stayed away from any perceived nasties, even though I might not agree with, you know, the fact that parabens might have a bad name, but I kept everything that might have any controversy of that out. And I wanted to create products that were going to give you clear, beautiful skin with the simple ethos to reveal, enhance, and protect the skin. So the idea was that, you know, you have certain skin type. Is it dry? Is it combination? Is it oily? And then is it textured? Do you have issues with hyperpigmentation? Is it redness, rosacea? Is it acne? And then the idea is that you target your skincare in order to treat the condition that bothers you the most in the kind of formulation that you like the most, and to be able to do that at home. So keep it simple, keep consistent, and have results driven. You know, everything clinically trialed. I think that is really important. Efficacious ingredients and formulations are at the core, because at the end of the day, you know, you're spending the time doing it and you want to see the results at the end of it. And so that was really the goal for me. I had no idea that so many people were interested in brightening and to keep their skin clear, because, you know, as you get older, particularly the cumulative damage from sun exposure, for instance, in someone like myself, all of the pigmentation that looked like a beautiful, healthy glow back then is, you know, sun damage that's coming out now. And so the idea of creating that was really important. And the regenerative ingredients are really important. I love stem cells. I love peptides. I love placenta. I love everything that's going to give you the backbone for your body to help heal itself and to help regenerate itself. And so that has been at the core of the product. You know, our placenta stem cell, bioplacenta stem cell serum has always been a hero product. Obviously, as the eye doctor, I have amazing eye creams, one for puffy eyes, one for fine lines and dark circles. I have lots of treatments, like whether it's with the LED or the eye masks or ampules for either brightening, giving you a little glow, or, you know, even helping in terms of pigmentation. So it's very, very targeted, well thought out skincare, but it's also meant to give you joy. You know, it's pink, it's gold, it's playful, it's hopefully serious, but, you know, serious in the way that you're going to get results.
Serious.
But yeah, it's not too serious that it takes all the fun and joy out of, you know, something that is really about self-love. You know, in those few minutes you touch your face, you're moving lymphatics across. You're actually making yourself feel better. Everybody loves a little touch on their face, even if it's your own touch.
No, I completely agree. And I love how you described it, because I was very, very excited when I learned about your background in medicine, because I've been a very firm believer in the fact that, you know, I've done a lot of, you know, work on the research side of things, right? And I always believe in the idea that you need to start with tissue models that are more delicate than you would see the robustness. Like, for example, skin on your back is a lot thicker than skin around your eyes. You know, that's where I'm getting it. So I've really seen how much you can learn when you study those systems. You know what I mean? Because they're the fundamentals of understanding how a system is reacting, you know? So I liked your approach, because I was like, she understands the skin around the eyes, which I believe to be the most difficult thing to understand, you know, because there's a lot less layers. There's a lot more showing through.
People well, the skin around the eyes is probably the thinnest on the body. It also has very few, basically, glands that help to lubricate it. It's also a muscle that's working the orbicularis oculi, which is a concentric muscle around the eye. I mean, it blinks thousands and thousands of times every day. It moves with every bite that you take, every emotion that you have. You're laughing, you're smiling, you're crying. It's all in your eyes. And then you also, it's thinner. And so you don't have that padding that you have in other places. So, you know, the tissue is not as dense. And so therefore, as we get older and things start to descend and the skin becomes less abundantly rejuvenating on its own, you know, like the skin cycle elongates, you start to see the blood vessels a little bit more tortuous. You start to see bags forming underneath your eyes. So there's a lot going on around the eyes that I think is really difficult. And so, you know, you need to use that three-step, reveal, enhance, and protect, in order to have the best version of yourself at every age. And that's really the goal of skincare, is not to change yourself. It's to try and be the best version of you. Yeah. Because at the end of the day, we want to live our best lives and we want to feel good in the process.
Absolutely. No, I agree. And I think it's very fascinating, because the eye cream in the collection, I really, really enjoy it, because for me, eye creams are very much hit or miss. You know, I usually don't gravitate towards them because they do not really feel like they're, quote, sinking in, you know, because they just leave some sort of a film or like a layer, or more importantly, they will bleed into the actual tear duct of my eye. And it's the worst. You know what I mean? And that's where I was like, I loved your eye cream when I tried it. I was like, yes, you know what I mean? Like,
this
should be making an eye cream. Like, someone with your background should be making an eye cream.
I mean, I love the eye cream. The Soothe and Smooth is the one you're talking about, because it helps reduce wrinkle depth. It helps to boost hydration, and it helps to decrease dark circles. It's packed with bark extract, albizia bark extract as well, which helps to, that's the thing that helps decrease dark circles. You have the ceramides and the tripeptide and the hyaluronic acid, which not only provides hydration, but it helps to lock it in. Because like I said, you don't have those lovely glands that you have on the other parts of your face and body. And so it will evaporate. And what's the point of putting lovely skincare on if it's going to evaporate? So, you know, basically, 97% of people who used it thought that their dark circles looked less visible. And we have shown in our clinical trials that the appearance of fine lines and wrinkles decreased by almost 34%. So pretty amazing clinical trials there. And so that's made for me. And, and I hate to say that, but a lot of the products initially were created as me as the guinea pig, because, you know, it's my brand and I was doing it for people like me. So it's meant for fine lines and dark circles, because that's what afflicted me. What I do want to say to anybody who's listening, that there are different kinds of eyes. So sometimes people think that they have dark circles, but actually they have puffy eyes. And puffy eyes is usually, unfortunately, it has some structural component to it. It might be fat. It might, you know, it might be the tissue that has had a lot of damage from UV radiation, but most of the time it's from fat. And so somebody who uses something like Soothe and Smooth is someone who's more fine lines and dark circles. But if they already have puffy eyes, you want to stay away from things that are going to attract hydration and lock in hydration, because it'll just make you look more puffy. So what you want to do is then, I have a different eye cream for that. And that's why I really was very conscious and thoughtful about how I made my eye cream, is that if you're somebody who's more on the puffy side, well, then you want something that's going to drain and is going to help detoxify and is going to help decrease the amount of fluid in that area to make it look more flat and even. It's not really treating the underlying problem, which is usually fat. That's usually surgical, but yeah, it will help you, you know, look better while also fortifying your skin. So hopefully the more you fortify your skin, then you don't see all the things that are happening underneath as much.
Thank you for that explanation. That's brilliant, because I think there's a lot of miscommunication and misunderstanding around the eye area, you know, overall, just how to take care of that skin. I know with men, that's the first sign of aging that they really show, is those crow's feet, you know, and that's, a lot of men have said that, you know, even like guests I've had on the show. And it's like, I've always wondered, it's like, I know there's a real space for eye products and eye creams. I know you have, you also have those wonderful ampoules, you know, that are for, love, you know, day and night. And I love that you've put so much thought into this specific niche of skincare, because I think there was a genuine lack in terms of like, what is adequate care for around the eyes, you know? And men, I feel like, don't gravitate towards skincare enough, because we're not addressing a lot of the places that they start seeing signs of aging first, you know? I feel like it really ties in to like, it's like the science is so strong that, you know, I really recommend it to even the men out there, you know, because you guys need it for the eye area, you know, from what I've heard.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. No, it's really cool. It's really cool. I want to actually ask you though, one thing I love about the line is it makes my skin glow. It reminds me of like very, you know, if I've gone on a vacation or just summer, you know, just like summertime, that glow that we all get. And I noticed that you have like different components in every product. Like, for example, the cleanser, for everybody listening, you know, cleanser has a little bit of acid in there, so it's going to get rid of dead skin cells. And like everything, I feel like, revolves somehow around glowing skin.
The idea is to reveal, enhance, and protect. So reveal means that you're cleansing the skin. You're getting rid of any, you know, makeup, any pollutants, you know, like the grime of everyday life outside, and also dead skin cells. So if you have like a layer of dead skin cells on your face, you know, you're going to put cream on top, it's not going to penetrate as well. So the idea is that you need to reveal, a good cleanse, exfoliate a couple times a week. And then from there, you want to enhance. And again, you enhance at first with one of my super serums. So I love my vitamin C, Brighten and Perfect, because it has not only encapsulated vitamin C, it has tranexamic acid. It also obviously has hydrators in there as well, azelaic acid. And together, they help to brighten the skin and decrease pigmentation by almost 40%. So they not only fight oxidative damage, but they actually reduce the appearance of already established pigmentation. And then you have, you know, hyaluronic acid if you want a little bit more hydration. And that also has the reishi mushrooms that again have some antioxidant properties and help to boost collagen and elastin. Then you have our Lift and Luster, which I absolutely love, also packed with lots of antioxidants, but it has a little gold shimmer into it. And so it goes, these mica particles go into your fine lines and wrinkles and just make you look more radiant, like literally immediately. And then my all-time favorite is the Placenta and Stem Cell Night Serum, which is going to be day and night now. We've just created a new formulation of it. And I love this because it's got the stem cells from plants, and it's also got the biopeptide, which basically stimulates placenta. It's very regenerative. It gives you all the building blocks, and people call it sleep in a bottle. They say it's the best thing ever. And so I love these super serums so much. And, you know, you can, different times of year, you might go into one versus another, and you might feel that you need to layer more in a winter months where your skin's a little drier, you know, like you have to listen to your skin as you go along. And then you have different moisturizers. You have the calming moisturizer. If you have redness prone, oh, we forgot the calm serum too. So there's so many different things that you can actually treat with the different serums. And then there are different moisturizers. So if you have redness, there's the Calm. If you're oily or rich, you kind of don't need too much hydration, there's a light moisturizer. We have a rich moisturizer. We also have a moisturizer that has SPF in it. We have the retinol, which is in a wonderful way to boost collagen and elastin. And of course, the eye creams and all the little treatments. So For me, it's about enhancing with a super serum, and maybe you might incorporate one or two. And then again, protecting your skin. And again, that's also with some of these serums, but SPF is really important. There's a lot of things on, I'm not on TikTok, but I'm on Instagram. There's been a lot of controversy on whether or not you really need to have sun protection. And if you're looking to look your best and for your skin to look its best forever, forget about the important benefits for skin cancer. But if you're looking at it at a very superficial level in terms of pigmentation problems, erythema for rosacea, and just that aesthetic component, you know, photo protection with SPF is really important and critical.
Yeah. I mean, here at Skincare, yeah, I'm just like, if you're a listener, please go buy a bottle of sunscreen. Like, I honestly, like, that's the end of the day. You know, you need to go. I don't even entertain the posts that are like questioning the value of SPF, because that is just absolute absurdity. It's like the one skincare product you need in your life, you know, is to protect yourself. But, you know, I think that what you've created is really great for getting like a very fun look, you know, summer look is my point, because we're approaching the summer and we're getting to the point where we want our skin to glow, you know, and I think the products are not over harsh. They're not making you feel tender, or, you know, a lot of acid products do that, for example, you know what I mean? That's why I was like very, very impressed that you have these components built into the line, but you really do have to stick to it. Like you said, you know, you have to stick to a regimen. You've made it easy to do that. I do enjoy the fact that there's a serum that resonates with whoever you are, you know, whatever your skin concerns are, stick to that one serum. You have the wonderful moisturizers, you have the eye cream. I mean, it's really just a simple routine, but it delivers such a punch. You know what I mean? Like, in terms of overall health. So I'm a huge, huge fan of it. I think you really knocked it out of the park with your whole line. And thank you for being so meticulous with your ingredients. They're really impressive.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, no, I am a huge fan. And for everyone listening, if you have not checked out MD Skin, please make sure you do. I will tag everything in the concept art and the caption for this episode. But it's really a great line, guys. Like, if you're looking for something new, if your skincare is not working for you and you need something that is genuinely going to work, I fully think this is going to work. So check it out. Let us know what you think. Please chime in. We love hearing from you. And Dr. Zamani, thank you so much. It's been such an honor to learn from you.
Thank you so much for having me and spreading some joy with purpose, getting it all out there. We all need a little bit of joy in our life, and we need it to be purposeful. So you kill two birds with one stone.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.